It is Saturday, June 7th, 2014. We're broadcasting live from Santa Cruz on the central coast of California. This is KUSP Public Radio 88.9 and KUSP.org.
Geek Speak on KUSP is supported by Mira Software Services, 1,500 software professionals specializing in machine-to-machine and the Internet of Things platform. Details at mera.biz or 650-479-5350.
It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gap between geeks and the rest of humanity. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP or any of the geeks' affiliated organizations. Welcome, I'm Lyle Troxell. With me in the studio is Al Luckow, area man and new media architect. Hi, Al.
Hello, everybody.
And Brian Young, an iOS developer, designer of, among other things, virtual lighting.
Hello, Lyle.
And it's good to see both of you here. It's been a while since we've been on the air, and I think for the three of us, maybe over a year together. So this is exciting.
Actually, I've never made it on the air with Al.
Really?
Really? Well, wow. Don't get us wrong. We see each other all the time.
That's true.
We're just not on the air together.
That's right.
So, you know.
So, Al, how you been?
I just kind of feel like I want to die.
Well, that's not good news.
I really do. I want to die. And there's a way to do it now.
There's always been a way to do it now.
Yes. Well, it's going to happen to everybody. But this way, you can actually control your death. It turns out that a George R.R. Martin has a couple of charities that he's getting money for. One of them is the Wild Spirit Wolf Sanctuary and the Food Depot of Santa Fe.
And I love that he's supporting a wolf sanctuary. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it is kind of like, I don't know if they're dire wolves or
probably not dire wolves.
But anyway, if you've got $20,000, you get to donate it to one of these things, and then you're put into this pool. And if you win, you get to be a character that dies in the next Song of Fire and Ice Game of Thrones series
novel.
Book.
Oh.
So you will probably die, a horrible death.
Yes, as most characters do.
Some kind of beheading or some kind of thing.
What he says is wolves.
There is one male character and one female character available. You can choose your character's station in the world, lordling, knight, peasant, whore, lady, meister, septon, or anything, and then you will meet a grisly death.
Nice.
The value of dying on Game of Thrones is $20,000. How much money is represented by that? I can't even count the characters that have died.
That's true.
That's
a lot.
Oh, my God.
Doing this all the time, he'd own the planet.
To those mathematicians out there, go through the Game of Thrones figure out exactly how
Does it count if a character dies and comes back to life or comes back to death?
Or can they die twice and double?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a sort of a crowdsourcing kind of thing. And you can also donate $15,000, and you can have lunch with a George R.R. Martin, or $7,500, and you get a pair of tickets to the season 5 premiere. They hope to raise $200,000 for
the charities.
For this charities,
that's cool.
That's wonderful.
So you can die.
Now, if only he'd write the book. I'm sorry to say.
I know, man.
Do you know why George doesn't use Twitter?
Why?
He could never say anything in 140 characters.
Oh, you want to know another interesting fact about George?
What?
I saw an interview with him, and you know how the Song of Fire and Ice was written?
How?
It was written on a 486 in WordPerfect.
That's right. That's the only thing he uses. He still uses it, right?
Yeah, he says it does just what I want it to do. And it doesn't have one of those dang spell checks. Because, I mean, you can't spell check,
his text,
Game of Thrones. It's like, it's crazy.
He's making up new words and new subsidizations.
So he writes WordPerfect.
And, of course, the benefit of that is that he doesn't get distracted by the technology and the machine.
Right.
The machine is a writing machine.
He says, it does just what I want. And you think about it, and you're like, there's some wisdom to that.
You know, the thing is, I have a love and hate with George R. R. Martin. Because I started reading the Game of Thrones years ago. Mm-hmm. And then... I think I read the series again when the next book came out, which was probably the fourth book at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of got sick of waiting for it. And then when the HBO series came out and I found he was a writer for that, he'd stop. Basically what's happening is he hasn't finished his novels.
Right.
And every time he does anything besides finish, it means it's not finishing.
Right.
and just frustrates
the novels are so rich and dense with descriptive, you know, text.
Did you see his April 1st posting?
Oh, no.
I'm done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With book 8, whatever it is.
Really?
Well, if it was an April 1st joke, yeah,
oh.
Exactly.
Oh.
Jerk. Anyway, I think he's fantastic.
I fell for that one on the air.
If you haven't read the series and you like the HBO series, I highly suggest you read because it's got, of course, more depth and all
it's
that
just
stuff.
Way better.
Of course, I haven't seen the HBO series.
I haven't seen it either, but I've read the books. So,
but man, he is crass.
Yeah.
Whew. That we were talking about George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones, and if you want to buy a character that will die in the next novel, you can do so by donating to 2 charities. So, hi, Brian.
Hi there. Well, should Al you die and you needed somebody to take over in your household, there is a new robot for sale coming next year.
Ooh.
For the remarkable price of $2,000. A company called SoftBank is going to release Pepper the robot.
What does Pepper do?
Pepper the robot. Do they refer to he
it's
or
a
she?
Robot, so it's not a gender.
Soon
gender.
To come, Salt the robot.
Pepper's main qualities are that Pepper can actually understand your emotions by reading your face and your voice intonation. So
my dog can do that too.
Yeah,
yeah, and might even obey commands better than Pepper.
What does that grant you if Pepper can detect how you're feeling? What happens?
Well, one of the examples they gave is if they were reading to your child, they could report back to you that your child smiled during the reading of this book.
Yeah, that's creepy.
This is going to be, you know, obviously first-generation technology.
Can it read a paper book?
Yeah, you know, they didn't say that, but
it can watch you read.
Watches you read and knows if you like it or not.
My dog does that, too.
Just, you know, the Pepper just comes up and takes the book away and goes, "You weren't enjoying it."
Yeah, really.
So, so in Japan, obviously, where most of these robot stories
come
from.
Oh, this is in Japan.
Yeah, this
all makes sense now.
Yes.
I, for one, welcome our emotion-detecting robot overlords.
they have a problem where they're getting more and more elderly without a younger generation to care for them. So that's why this big push to find robots.
There's a lot of money invested in Japan in taking care of the elderly with robots. Which just seems wrong.
They have a big respect for their elders in Japan. You know, much more than
here,
know, other places.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they would. It just feels. I don't know if I don't have any statistics to back this up, but it feels like they live longer.
Really?
It just feels that way. I don't know.
I think that they have robots serving.
Yeah,
that should be fun.
Yeah.
But the stories about these robots always seem a little wrong. Right? Like the seal, the research project from MIT, I think that was the little pet seal, and it cooed and made pretty eyes to you and made sounds and purred, basically. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's just the whole bunch of machine parts. But if it makes a human feel better, maybe that's a good thing.
My dog does that too.
I mean, the science shows that.
You're just saying get a dog, is what you're saying.
Make your own assumptions.
The science does show that even if it's not a living creature, these sounds, these connections can help the emotional state of somebody. But yeah, at the same time, their example of reading to a child. A child doesn't learn to read because they just sit and see the books. They learn to read because there's this wonderful feeling of sitting with your parent each night, and you associate that feeling with reading.
Okay, so this product, this little Pepper, the emotion-detecting robot, will come out next year.
This will come out next year at a remarkably low price. So this is the beginning, and there will be more steps along the way.
That's awesome. I like seeing new tech products. I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely. Al, do you get any ways for us to find new tech products?
Actually, funny you should say that. It's almost as if we planned it. There is a site. It's called producthunt.com. And if you're into new products, if you're into new tech products, I would highly suggest this. It was created by a guy. His name is Ryan Hoover. And it was just, he said he initially started with friends and entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley, and they just were talking about, you know, what's coming up, what's new, and they just no way to really talk about new products and stuff. So he just created this site, and it just took off. And there's a way you can, it's a real simple listing of new products, and then there's an also way to comment on it. And when I went there, and I was like, wow, this is like huge. I mean, you can go to everything. And just to give you an example of a couple of the products. Now, a lot of these products haven't come out yet, so it's talking about companies that are still in the funding stage or some products are out. Here's a couple of products, though. They both deal with the virtual space around your computer. One of them is called AirType. This one I found. It's at airtype.io. All these new, you know, suffixes coming out now. Mm-hmm.
What does it do?
Can I guess?
Yeah. It allows you to type in the air. But I don't know what that means.
I don't really understand how you arrived at that.
Air type.
But, yes. It actually, it lets you type on anything. And you put these little rings. It's like sort of like a bracelet that goes around the top part of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that'd be your metacarpal area. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is it toes or tarp? Yeah, it'd be metacarpal. And then you just type right on any surface, and I guess you train it. You type on a regular keyboard.
So it's detecting the muscles across your hand, yeah, and kind of knows what you're
somehow
typing.
Somehow it knows, and that's you're able to just type on anything, anywhere, and you can use it with your phone. And they show examples of it being used.
There's other systems like this, like the I think it's called the Pebble. Is that right? The one that actually has a scanner that sits in front of your hands, and you type in front of it, and it scans your finger. But this just detects your body. It's a wearable instead.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
And then
whenever people talk about what Apple's new wearable tech will be, that's the thing that I want it to be. I want it to be something that is on me, that detects my movements, and I can, you know, interact with the computer in a different way. But in the art space, at least, that stuff is not exactly reliable.
Oh,
it's,
no, yeah.
It's a little glitchy.
Yeah, well,
but Product Hunt, the site you're talking about, producthunt.com, allows you to go up, find out what the newest products are, and then you can research and take a look at yourself. So AirType's one of them.
And
sounds
the other
pretty
one,
cool.
The other one's called Fuffer.
Fuffer.
F-U-F-F-E-R.
Okay, let me guess what this one is. This is a bed product. It allows your pillows. No, but that would be Fluffer, and that's not appropriate.
That's Fuffer. Not a job that we don't talk about.
I don't know. Gosh, I don't know.
What it is it's, I don't know where they came up with the name. I mean, every time you hear a new name for a company,
it's don't know what it is until the market.
Is it that bad? Therithrian. Really, you had to name it that? It was the only thing available.
What does Fuffer do?
Fuffer, basically, it's a case that you put around your iPhone, and it detects the virtual space around your phone and lets you use whatever space is around your phone as a trackpad or a drawing surface or whatever. So you just set it on the table, and you're able to just, you could just draw on the table with your finger.
Wait, how does it do that?
It's in the cover.
The cover has a whole bunch of sensors on it.
Yeah, and so it just basically...
So it's like a scanning cover system.
It opens up a lot of ideas for...
yeah, but does it work?
They showed it working, and they offer an online developer kit if you want to develop a game.
For
you
millions
could do all sorts
of dollars.
Of games. You could do all sorts of... Yeah, I think it's free.
You know, every 2 years or so, I grab some kind of tablet-y device, something that will allow me to take a pen or brush input and put it into a computer. And I've never have gotten to the point where I'm like, this is it.
I know.
But you feel the same way, right?
I see people... You know, I have trackpads, and I bought the Wacom tablet,
sure,
and I've done all that, you know, and, some people are like, oh, I couldn't even do my job without my Wacom tablet. You know, I'm like, you know what, I've been a designer for decades, and I just can't, I mean, my hand sticks to it, you know, it's plastic.
But you do draw, you do use paper, right?
I use paper,
I just scan it and then go from there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Paper still works for me. I know this is tech.
Well, maybe
show,
Fuffer would work for you too.
Maybe Fuffer would work, yes. So,
I'd like to try it out.
But this Product Hunt page, worth a look.
All right. In just a second, Al's going to talk about another product that you might want, that we've always wanted. This is Geek Speak. I'm Lyle Troxell. We have Al Luckout and Brian Young in the air with me. Next time on the 7th Avenue Project, exoticized, eroticized, and idealized, tales of an Afro-American athlete abroad. As a star basketball player in college, Coleman Collins could have waited around to join the NBA, but he chose to see the world instead, playing on the international circuit for teams from Europe to the Middle East. He talks about his travels and discoveries with KUSP's Robert Pauly. That's on the 7th Avenue Project tomorrow at high noon right here on KUSP, or whenever you'd like, online at kusp.org. All right, you're listening to Geek Speak. I'm Lyle Troxell. We have Al Luckow and Brian Young. And Brian, you have something for us in the product categorization category. We're just talking about crazy products that we want. What's up with the future products?
Yeah. So we're living in the future. We've got robots that are being released next year. We've got these phones we just touch. They do these incredible, beautiful things. We use quantum mechanics every day to find out where we are on our GPS maps. So there's an interesting little article written up by a physicist, and the whole title of the article is, Where's My Flying Car?
The definition of the future.
The question we've been asking ourselves since we probably all stepped out
of
the
womb.
So
what's this physicist's take on it?
So it was really interesting because he started talking about it in the sense that we are really good at understanding and using several of the basic forces of physics. Electromagnetism is...
Got that down, baby.
Yeah, we got it down. We can use the quantum nature of it. We can make these computers do incredible things, all because of our complete understanding of electromagnetism. And we even understand a good bit about nuclear strong and weak forces. That's where our nuclear power comes from. That's where... bombs come from. But even in those cases,
but, you know, also understanding those weaken the nuclear forces also allows us to do our to measured durations of time using isotope counts, and you know, there's a lot of that goes in with that understanding of nuclear subatomic particle forces.
There is, but our ability to control it is really limited. Even nuclear power, the height of technology of that is basically steam engines. It's using the force to heat up water to just run a turbine. That's pretty old technology. So his whole question was, why don't we have flying cars by now? And it comes down to the fact that we just still, after all this time, don't understand gravity hardly at all. And I just thought it's really interesting. I can't wait until somebody makes some big breakthrough on understanding this force. But we don't even have a quantum understanding of it in order to put it into the same realm.
We don't even have a quanta of understanding.
to put it in the same realm as these other forces that we understand.
So the take on the flying car is, until we master gravity, we don't got one.
Yeah, well, the basic forces, it just takes too much energy. And
I just think we need to populate a less dense planet, and then we'll be fine. It'll be easy to fly.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Bone growth a little harder, but other than that. Hey, so I want to let you guys know that the U.S. Secret Service recently requested made a proposal for a contract. And the contract is, among other things, is basically understanding social networks. And what they requested is a whole bunch of features that they'd want to be able to scrape Facebook and Twitter for knowledge, right, and get data out of it. And one of the things that it specifies is the ability to detect sarcasm.
Mm. So, I saw that article.
So the U.S. Secret Service wants to software to detect sarcasm. Now, if you talk to people that are doing anything around artificial intelligence and language diagnosis,
they want to detect sarcasm.
I knew that
we
you
want got something to try to detect sarcasm.
Any case, it's very hard to understand sarcasm, and one of the reasons is that it's based off of a base level understanding of reality that then you make a counterpoint so ridiculous, and you have to understand the context of the person coming from, that you know that their point is ridiculous to the base underlying society knowledge and who they are. That's what defines it. Right?
The biggest problem there is that people make ridiculous statements all the time that they do mean.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Really? And I think that U.S. government,
right?
The U.S. government in general is, I mean, there's great cases online of people being arrested for sarcastic, you know, things,
right,
and taken out of context, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that you could automate that, it just shows that people do not understand the problems related to trying to computerize, if you will, or codify what our general knowledge is, and it's a long ways away.
Yeah.
So, in any case, there's a grant out there. If you think you have the perfect way to detect sarcasm,
if you think what's that red light over there?
Totally get paid.
Yeah.
Anyway, sarcasm detection. All right. This week, the big news stories, of course, had a lot to do with Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. And Al, you didn't go, right?
Nope.
And Brian, you went and have some data about it and all of that. And before we get into that discussion, I want to throw back to Al a bit about products, more products, because we had one more story about it, about a great site called fab.com, which you can tell me what fab.com is first.
Fab.com was a sort of an aggregator of cool products, you know, antique cameras. Seems like there was a lot of antique cameras on there, but all sorts of, actually bought some stuff, like a couple posters and stuff. And so
it wasn't an auction site. No. It was like a new products purchasing place, right?
It's going to become available in 5 minutes, and you have this much time to buy it, and then, you know, that's it. And it was kind of cool. It was a hip thing, and it was the talk of the town a couple
How
of years ago.
How much junk did you buy through it? Like stuff you never used afterwards?
I didn't buy anything. I think I bought a poster that I thought was pretty cool that I knew I couldn't get anywhere else. But other than that, I haven't really bought. I mean, a lot of it's just, you know, it's excess capital income people would, you know.
Sure.
And it was the talk of the town. But now it's out that fab.com is probably dead this year.
Oh, really?
It's just mismanagement, layoffs, everything's being reshuffled. Everything about it, you know, it was the hip happening to be in crowd thing,
and now it's
like turning to dust. And
there's other sites like that. It was sad to see it go, but there's other sites like this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's I'm trying to think of the one that has like the homepage always has one type of product.
Right. What is the name of that one again?
You know,
and then they have a word that turned into a verb that you use,
and then you buy that. Yeah,
yeah,
and we're failing miserably.
This many people bought this,
Yeah. Anyway.
Woot.
Woot. Thank you.
That's it.
Yes.
No, he was just, it was just an exclamation he was just saying, and it just so happened.
That, I love
that's
that we built
we're
that context slowly,
yeah.
And Brian was able to capture it for us. Right. Woot, right, exactly. Woot.com yeah. sells, they've got like four items on sale all the time. They have the wine, the shirt, mm-hmm. the weird product.
Right.
And I've bought things from that.
I know.
I bought a $12 tablet, would actually, I mean, a drawing surface thing, you know, uh-huh. That worked.
Yeah. I mean, Woot is a, it's sort of a liquidator.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They kind of liquidate. It's like going to Ross,
yeah.
kind of.
And don't go there unless you've got some money to burn, because yeah. you'll burn. Every time you visit, you're like, oh, I could use a monitor that's right. like that cheap and that good.
Speaking of Ross, I went yes. to Ross the other day with a friend of mine, you know, and it's just like, they have like clothes there, but they've got like
they
this weird stuff.
Yeah, it's a weird
And they
question.
Had this like iPad cover. It was leather. And my friend's like, oh, I kind of need one of those. I wonder if that's a good deal. It's $15, you know. I don't know. I go, well, it's leather. It looks pretty good. And he's like, oh, I just bought it. So he buys it. We get back to the office. He looks it up on Amazon, $70.
What's,
same exact
what's the
one.
Deal? Why
I think
it?
They just get like extra weird. Crates of stuff or overruns yeah. or whatever, and they just sell it. And, you know, you go in there and there's this weird like, there's clothing, and then there's a squirt gun, and what? Where am I, you know?
Hey, so the other site that's kind of like that is Zappos.
Yes, Zappos.
Zappos also does selling of that
They
kind
do
of sort.
A lot of that stuff.
This is like stuff you don't really need, but you could buy, I guess is one way to say it.
Right.
There's another story about Zappos in the news this week, wasn't there?
Yeah, Zappos, actually a very cool place to work. It's one of those like, hey, we're dot-commy people.
You got ping pong tables in the basement.
Yeah, you can ride your scooter through the hallway and look at this. You get your free food and you get to eat Doritos. And
is that sarcasm?
What's that red light over there?
That's the U.S. Security.
But they've actually decided, of course, they're in Las Vegas and like, you know, it's not. Anyway, so.
You don't want to work there is what you're saying.
Yeah. So the thing is, they've made it so that if you want to get a job at Zappos now, you have to join their online social network called Zappos Insiders. It's the only way you'll ever get a job. And don't even think you're going to get a job unless you've been on there a year. And it's going to have to do with how great you think Zappos is.
Wait, this is their hiring practice? Is
yep.
for you to
mm-hmm.
go and join their community yep. mm-hmm. and participate.
That's
and
how
become
they're
friendly with them.
They've decided that that's how they're going to recruit their people. They basically force you to join the social network and to just to say how great Zappos is and try to buddy up to other people, other members of the, you know. And then once you know that happens, you know, you may have a chance of getting a job there.
Wow, they're going to get a lot of new ideas into their company.
It's like I like to hire people based on their work history, maybe performance, other things they've done in the past, not because they happen to be a bubble-headed social networker, you know. And I think that's what they're attracting, and there's a lot of criticism to that. But you know, they're a new company and they're out there and you can ride your scooter and you can have,
I bet they'll get people joining up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They've got a lot of people. They plan to hire 450 people this year from
their social network.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I don't know.
What if it's legal?
The world is crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Big news from Apple. They released all, every year Apple releases this, that has their show, the Worldwide Developer Conference for Apple. And they announce, mostly in this time of year, they announce their new software. So they'll mention OS X and iOS's updates and what's features. And this year they did not, they covered that exactly. No new hardware. But you were there for, you were around W3C,
yeah,
right?
I went up
Brian?
To San Francisco. I didn't actually go into the conference. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to get a ticket, but there was a lot of
He stood outside the building and looked in the window.
Pressed his face to the glass. Mm-hmm.
Held my phone up trying to record what yeah. I could. No, but there's other conferences going on around there because, I mean, it's so hard to get a ticket now. You have to go join a lottery, and it's just, you're not going to get in unless you get lucky. But they had a lot of announcements. Now, this is traditionally their developers conference. It's not supposed to be a public-facing
right.
thing, but it has become where they have announced the latest software, and they broadcast the keynote, and everybody gets to take a look what's coming down the pipe in another 3 months or so.
You know, I decided to take the keynote, and actually Twit Network actually did this. They took the keynote, and they just cut out all the content from the keynote except a few what kind of words are these? Awesomeness.
Expletives. Or?
So here's a little bit of just the expletives from the keynote.
Expletives? Yeah. From the keynote.
Great. The mother of all releases. Huge. So huge. Best. Great. Great. Fastest. Wonderful. Greatest. Fantastic. Beautiful. Beauty and power. Fantastic. Bold. Remarkable. Carefully.
That's 10 seconds of 2 minutes. And last night when I was listening to it, like I was on a page where I was able to scroll it up. It went on and on and on.
I wouldn't mind listening to that when I wake up in the morning.
Okay. Yeah. I am so excited
now.
With
just the word now. You in front of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, they're very good at Apple about talking about their products in a very positive way. Not like Jobs was. Jobs didn't have to use those words. He just had this kind of magical ability. But they're still doing a good job promoting their products, and they had a lot of exciting words to say. What excited you out of their announcements this week?
Well, I really was excited. There's a lot of stuff. Most of it, I would say, is actually really exciting to the developer community. But for the public-facing stuff, there's some really interesting things that, again, what Apple does really well is not make new technology or make something new. What they do really well is take old ideas and package them up in a way that is really useful and put together better than others have done it. So there's a continuity feature that allows you to take a document that you're working on your iPad, and there'll be a little thing showing up on your Mac, and you just swipe up on your Mac, and all of a sudden that exact same document is in the exact same place that it was on your iPad, and you can continue working on it. And that carries through in many ways.
And this is part of iOS 8 and the new main Macintosh operating system.
Exactly.
Right?
You would need the latest iOS and the latest Mac operating system on each of your machines for this to work.
This is one of the features, like, is because of the cloud. There's a reason why we can do this, right? Because the network is syncing. The reason I'm so stuck with Google Docs is because of this, right? I modify something on my iPhone, it's a Google Doc, and then I go onto my Mac, and it's the same document, right?
Yeah.
So to have it built into the operating system makes a lot of sense.
And things like your phone can ring, and then you can actually take the phone call on your computer, on your Mac, because they're all just tied together, and it's going to talk to your computer and let you know there's a phone call, and you can talk right through it.
I don't know if that's totally bug-free.
There's going to be a family share option where you can have several accounts in your family, and your son, your daughter can try to buy a game, and then it'll pop up on your phone saying, hey,
I want that so bad.
Wyatt would like to buy.
Yes. That would be a great feature, definitely.
And you can
right now, I'm pruning my Apple devices so that I can just have enough so that my kids can both have my account. So when I buy a game, they both get it, you know. And it's difficult to do this. Mm. Do you have this problem, Mel?
Yeah, my daughter uses an old iPhone of mine as an iPod, and I'll be somewhere, and I to pick up my phone, and I look, and then I see like Cupcake Maker has been added to my. My home screen,
yes.
You know, it's like, oh, I think my wife let her buy a
yeah, right.
You know,
auto syncs like, to your phone.
Yeah, so it's a little weird, but it does. You know, I mean, until a kid is old enough, I don't know that it's a great idea to have a separate account.
No, but I think a family account like this sounds like the right kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. There are children accounts, and Apple knows that, and then they prompt you for that's exactly the kind of features we need. Yeah.
And what they're really doing that's interesting is, of course, one of the big advantages Android has is that they're so open. You love being able to add exactly the keyboard or exactly the launcher that you like on your phone, don't you?
So, on Android?
On Android.
Yes, that was great until I got sick of Android and back to iOS.
So it's taken them a lot of years to do this securely, but they're trying to open that up so that we'll now be able to install our own customized keyboards on iOS or have inter-app communication where...
So some of these features are awesome, but the keyboard one, as a user of a phone, it sounds horrible because it sounds like I'm going to go to Twitter and all of a sudden the keyboard will be slightly different, mm-hmm. right? And like the at symbol, because it's so important in Twitter, will be like prominent or something. I don't know. To me as a user, I think it would be really irritating. But as a developer on iOS, it's really frustrating what the keyboard interface actually is. Like when you allow a text field to emerge, this keyboard shows up that takes up half the screen and there's nothing you can do about it. And then the only way that it gets dismissed is when the person leaves that field. So as an app developer, there's not a lot of control. So I can see both sides of this, but I could definitely see it getting bad.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to
we'll find out on your
phone. And if you are a geek and just want to download everything, you're going to start running into those problems.
Yeah, definitely. You said the next one, not the keyboard, but the other thing that you were liking, the inter-app
communication. So your apps are going to be able to talk together in a way they never have before. So
We were kind of talking about this on the way here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to describe that in iOS? The inter-app communication. You were suggesting you have a whole story about this.
Well, right? I was going to talk about the notifications.
Well, it's just similar, isn't it?
Yeah. He's talking about the apps, the way they communicate to each other. So one app can access another app, you know, given that the modules are in place.
Right.
And it can get information from that app, which is a nice thing. But my point was one of the things that they've really upgraded in iOS 8 is notifications.
Okay.
So now you can interact, like, you know, right now on your phone, you get a call and a little thing comes up and says, you know, Lyle Droxel's calling, and mm-hmm. I can hit a button that says, you know, I'll call you later.
Right.
I'm busy.
And I actually get a little text message that says, you'll call me later. And it's just a one button thing.
So that's interactivity. But that's done on the OS level, which they can do anything they want through the OS. But now apps are going to be able to do that. So you're going to be able to interact, like you might get a Facebook post and you can respond to it without ever having to unlock your phone or anything. You can just do it directly from the notification screen. Mm-hmm. So it's going to open up. I mean, it's going to change the way phones are used. I mean, it's going
to open
up. So now
you could see while you're in a phone call, a little bling happen, which is actually Facebook a notification. And you can write in that Facebook notification, reply back to your friend. I'll Facebook you back in a minute because I'm on the phone.
It'll change, make huge changes. The only question I have is like, is this going to be another 10,000 interruptions during the day that I have to deal, that I feel, now I feel that I can respond, I have to respond, so I'm compelled to be, bling, bling, bling.
Right.
More of what I get is that people know you can respond, so they're mad that you haven't.
Right. How come he didn't? I know he must have gotten this message. It's one of those things, you know. So that's what I question, but it will change the way we use our phones. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. So it's kind of interesting that you bring up the cultural idea of that, because Apple has had a huge impact on our culture and our technology over the last 10, 15 years since Jobs was the head of it. And now that he's gone, a lot of people are asking whether Apple has lost its mojo and whether it's just not going to be as relevant anymore. And what I thought was really important about this conference is they introduced so many new technologies and so many exciting ideas that I think it really shows how much they're working behind the scenes and that...
Okay, but part of that is that Apple's been a leader in this space, and the keyboard modification ability, that's an Android thing. I mean, other operating systems have already done these things that they're doing. The messaging system, the widget kind of idea inside messages, what we're actually talking about, right? And not messages, notifications panel, the widgets. Mm-hmm. That's been in Android for a long time. It's been in the other phone. Microsoft Phone OS.
Yeah.
So they're not innovating that space, though, are they?
No, they're not innovating that space specifically. They're catching up in those cases. What they're doing, though, is they're doing it in when it comes to the inter-app communication and the keyboards, they're doing it in a secure way that you're not going to have to worry about viruses as much. They took their time on that.
Yeah.
But something else they did, in the developer community, there's been a lot of talk for years, and it's been really ramping up lately, that Apple is just not doing what they need to do to make their development environment easy enough. Yeah. They're not using modern languages. They're not using modern patterns. And this week they surprised everybody, even the people that were calling for this, by releasing a new language. And so
A
new programming language. So for the average Joe on the street, this really doesn't matter too much. But the importance of it is it's such a nice, clean, simplified, modern language that's still so powerful you can write a full desktop application in it, that you're going to find a lot of developers coming from things that are easy to step into, like JavaScript or other web development environments, and they'll find themselves much more at home coming into doing iOS, and you're going to see an explosion of even more new ideas coming into our phones, coming into our iPhones and on the Mac.
One thing I thought was interesting...
The new programming language is called Swift, by the way. Go on.
Yeah, when they announced Swift, they said that it will be able to reside in alongside of C++. And it's not like you have to like say, okay, now I am going to use this new program. I can only use this.
Right.
You can use parts of that, and they can both coexist.
It's a dynamic language that actually bounds to the C,
which is
the Objective-C
smart thing to do.
Right. It is. And the thing is, dynamic languages have become much more popular in the past few years. Ruby, Python, and JavaScript are all languages that have exploded in growth on usage on the server and all over the place. And Apple hasn't had a language like that natively. They even fought other tooling people that wanted to do JavaScript converted to Objective-C, which some people actually do right now. They fought that. So now they actually have a native language that is a dynamic language, a scripting type language, though it's being compiled on the fly. And it's kind of exciting because they do a really good, their IDE is actually quite good. Their actual Xcode environment is really quite nice, assuming you're using the languages that they're providing for you. And now they've got one that is dynamic. Yeah, as a JavaScript developer, I'm kind of excited by Swift.
Have you played with the Playground yet?
No, I went and took a look at the cheat sheet to see how close it was to languages I was aware of. And
it'll be just
it's
like,
got closures. It's a lot like JavaScript. So
yes.
It's not alien to me by any case. But I'm not sure if I'll jump into it. In any case, we'll talk more about WWDC3 and a few other things, including let me make one correction. We had a caller and called up and said, expletives is a great word to use in that descriptive. It's just wrong. It's superlatives is the words I was looking for the WWDC. Thanks and great and beautiful and all that. Those are of course.
That sounds
superlative.
Like, that sounds like it might have been my wife.
Ah.
Woo.
Or any.
Yeah. Word genius.
Yeah, definitely. You're listening to KSP, and this is Geek Speak. I'm Lyle Troxell. Brian, were there any cool images or things of note that we have to tell people to go to our website? So every week we offer a little bit of content called Geek Bits, which are things you have to see and not listen to. So you go to geekspeak.org to see them. What's this one connected to WWDC?
So the geek pick for this is we're going to put up a photograph of the bathrooms at WWDC.
What?
You know, tech has a little problem with being a little male heavy.
Yes.
And,
gosh, yes.
And so if you were a guy at WWDC, you had to wait in line, which is something, you know, that's not what you normally see at bathrooms. There was nobody standing in line at the women's bathroom at WWDC.
This is a common thing in tech. Events, because of course the event is based on a venue that is gender neutral. It has probably actually more female bathrooms than male bathrooms just because of the way the NAMBI works. But it's very common for tech events to just have no waiting in the female line.
And it was interesting.
Which is sad. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. That's the case.
And there's actually been a problem with sexism in these technology conferences that's been coming to the forefront lately. There was issues around GitHub and their employees and founders.
Yeah.
What was really refreshing to see is the conference I was a part of that was outside the main conference.
The alt conference?
The alt conf. They were very clear to everybody there that they wanted this to be an inclusive conference, and that if anybody felt unsafe, if anybody felt like they were being discriminated or even just made to feel like they're not welcome, they needed to speak up, and that the conference itself would make it clear who is welcome and who's not.
There's we've covered a few times on the Geek Speak the idea that conferences need to have a document of correct, appropriate behavior at a conference. So there's a guideline
and to really model it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good to see that it's being modeled at least.
And the whole community is really starting to think about other ethical questions too that I found fascinating. They wanted to talk about why even write an app. We have now millions of apps on the App Store, millions of mobile apps that you carry around in your pocket. But do any of them really make our life better? How many of them actually give us more time back in the day to spend with our kids or things like that? And the development community looks like they're really starting to question this. It's time to think about quality.
Of course, these are people that weren't actually in the conference. They're
true.
In the alt conference.
No, there's an app that you can enter a question like that in. It's called the Show of Hands. You ever see that app?
No.
You just type in, it's called a Show of Hands. It's free. And you type in a question, and then people from all around the world respond to this. Or maybe it's United States.
Is it a yes-no question?
I believe yes. Yes. You're given a bunch of choices as to what you can answer it as. And when you do it, once you've responded, you're able to see how the rest of the nation responded to this question. You know, do you agree that, you know, I don't know, that Democrats are crazy and Republicans are nuts, or, you know, whatever you do, it'll say most people think this, and they give you a nice little United States chart, and they show you the colors. And I could swear it was just the U.S. It might be the world, though.
Can't find it now, but
a show of hands. Yeah.
All right, so I'll mention my fun app of the week. My son showed me Bleak, BLEK. Have you guys seen this yet?
Mm-mm. Oh, Black.
Black. Oh, Black. Sorry. Oh, yeah, Black. So you know Black.
I know Black.
So Black is a game where you try to destroy objects on the screen. There's like little mazes. And the way you do it is you draw your finger. And whatever pattern you draw on your finger, that becomes then the pattern of movement. It's a very hard thing to see. Huh. Maybe I'll do a little vid capture or something, put up at geekspeak.org. But it's actually a paid app, but it's a pretty cool little...
Yeah, it'll really suck your time.
It does suck your time, yeah. Yeah. One of those things that my son wanted it, so I got it for him, and then it showed up on my device too. All right, so that was one of the geek bits, just a sad photograph of a long male bathroom line, a short female bathroom line, a very common actual occurrence at tech events, unfortunately. What about something from the sea, Al? You got a geek bit from the ocean?
Oh, yes. There's a crazy, it's called the Absurd Creature of the Week. Wired does it. And I thought this was... you got to see this video because, you know, the geek bit, you know, you got to go to our website. It's like, hey, come see the geek bit. This is a pretty cool video. This little tiny fish can support 300 times its own weight. It's got like one of those sucker mouths on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Support or lift?
It lifts. Well, they took this fish. I guess it can live out of water because they were holding it, you know? So they take it. It's called a clingfish. And they just stuck it on the
on a big rock. Big rock.
And lifted the whole rock up, and this thing just kind of sucked right onto it. It's one of 161 known species of clingfish. They cling to other fish.
That's what they do, is they mount to stuff and then they do things.
Wait a second. Is this like a polished rock, like a suction cup?
No. It's like a piece of granite, like a giant rough granite stone.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you could do this to it. It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm showing Brian the picture right now. The fish is just lifting up a giant rock, 300 times its own weight.
That guy really pushed it down on that, too.
Yeah. The fish looks like it's kind of like, like he's really... But anyway, that's a pretty cool video. You should check that out. It's even an animated GIF, so... Or at least that one is.
GIF or GIF? I think of GIF.
I always say GIF, but they're both appropriate.
No.
Don't go writing into GeekSpeak and saying, it's GIF!
All right, that video is up on
GeekSpeak
right now.
We're the coalition
of
GIF people.
All right,
we are the knights who say GIF.
Suction cup fish and also WC pictures up at geekspeak.org. Brian, I think you're out of topics, I think, for this week. I'm going to go ahead and invite people to call in. The phone number is 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877. Al, you're a designer, and people come up to you all the time, like they do to me, because I'm a programmer, probably Brian as well. They hear, oh, you're a designer, or you design iOS apps, or you build websites. I've got this great idea for you. And the first thing you hear the idea, and then you think they should get a domain name for it, mm-hmm. because it's important to have a domain name that matches your idea. So you have any clever tricks for people for this?
Yeah, there's another cool site. It's called Endless Domains, and the actual location of this site is endless.domains, because they have...
That's it, right?
That's
no
it.
.com, just type endless.domains. Yeah.
And what it does is it's got one field in the middle, and you say, okay, well, I want to come up with a name for my company, and my name is Ajax. So you type in Ajax, and then you hit, enter, and it will just come up with hundreds of examples of how you can use... Well, Ajax is taken, but you can use hundreds of iterations of Ajax that are not taken.
Right.
And so it automatically does that search and then just lists everything. So when you're trying to think up a name, and a lot of it has to do with, and it also searches all the domain suffixes. So it's not just .com, which of course you kind of would be great if you get .com, because still they have all these domain suffixes now. But really .com is really the happen and one to have, I think, still. But you can get all these other ones. And it's a great way to search for domains. Available domains.
So I'm looking for sarcasm, because we've been talking about that today.
What'd that red light go on over there?
The thing is, it's interesting. They've got really different types of words than I'd expect.
Yeah.
Satirizing info, gripe rich, mm-hmm. jibe singles, bitterness me, satire expert. Ooh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's satire dot expert.
It's not your typical thesaurus kind of lookup. And that's why I thought this was worth mentioning, because...
There's root domains called rich and picks and education and singles and expert.
It's crazy.
And club. Now, some of these have to be taken. I don't even believe it.
No, they do a search before they display
it. I'm
going
to go ahead and click on one and see if I can get it. Oh, it looks like you can get it from multiple sites. We'll go to name.com. Let's see. I should have gone to Hover. It's a pretty cool site. Domain name. Salt.club was available.
When you said endless domains...
No, now it says salt.club is taken.
Well, we've just been talking about it on the air.
Maybe it was taken while we were talking.
That's true. That was fast.
Yeah.
You said endless domains, and I imagined a domain name that went on so long I couldn't type it out.
Oh, yeah, right.
You can do that. I think it's 256 characters.
Really?
So, yeah, you can make them really long. I've done subdomains for fun, that are like a complete sentence.
Wow.
So instead of having a website that has a secret URL or a password or everything, I just make a domain name that's an entire sentence. Please go take a look at these pictures I made for you, .troxel.com.
Now is the time for all the men to come to the aid of their country, .troxel.com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're fun. So when getting domains, it's always a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
And of course, you do want to, one suggestion we're going to have as geeks, you want to get a hosting provider and a domain registrar different. You want them different places. Get a good domain registrar, and you want to research it and make sure that you agree with their policy, privacy policy, and things of that nature, so they don't steal the domain from you. Looks like we've got a call from Santa Cruz, which is cool because that's where we are. It's always nice to have people call from where we are. So, Dane, welcome. Is it Dana or Dane?
It is Dane.
Dane,
yes,
welcome.
D-A-N-E. Yeah.
Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. One, the first is a question I've been dying to ask for a long time, and it has nothing to do with technology. It has to do with your theme song. I'm wondering
through
what
being
it
cool?
means to eliminate the ninnies and the twits.
It means that ninny and twit, of course, is an insulting term for geeks and
right.
such. And so we get rid of those words. And we're just embracing one of them, right?
Okay.
We embrace being a geek because we've owned it. And now, of course, the word is kind of chic almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's not really a derogatory term. Though I did find out in middle school it is still, geek is still a derogatory
really?
Term.
Oh, really?
Santa Cruz Middle School, yeah. From my cousin.
What about nerd?
I don't know. Nerds go okay on the East Coast, supposedly. They're a swapped thing.
Did you ever see that video of they showed a guy who they showed some like really hot model with glasses saying, "Yeah, I'm just such a geek," you know?
Right,
and,
right.
And then the guy walks up and says, "Hi, I'd like to interrupt this video. I am a geek."
Right. I don't leave my house. And
yeah, I don't. I'm not a beautiful blonde. And,
right, right.
You know.
Well, so that's kind of why. Now, the reason why we have this as a theme song is when we started doing Geek Speak, we didn't actually have a theme song. We took over the show in 2000 from the wonderful people that started the Cruise.io. They ran the talk show for a while. It was a half an hour call-in show for a couple of years, since 98. And then when I took over in 2000, we just thought it'd be kind of fun to have a theme song. And, of course, us all knowing Devo, that's a cool song. That's perfect for us. So we started using it. And then over the years, I've tried many times to replace it with something else. And I just never have found
one
that liked. Was that you wrote one? And we've used it before.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get into the studio early enough, I get my machine set up and actually play a different theme song, which I probably should do more often. But this one, the Through Being Cool one, which has been edited slightly to get some of the words out, is in the automatic system, so all I have to do is push a button and it works. So technology wins again.
Well,
what's the other question?
It's very catchy. I was hoping it wasn't advocating some sort of class warfare, you know?
Yeah.
So my technical question has to do with Mavericks. I put Mavericks on my MacBook Pro couple months ago, and it's gotten really, really slow. Is that is it something I need to be doing differently?
How much RAM do you have?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a great question because Mavericks requires a lot of RAM to really function properly, and RAM is something you can easily upgrade.
Okay,
most of the time.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a great thing. I'll look. So how much?
Yeah, how much RAM do we need?
Right.
Well, I'm running 4 gigs and it's a little tight.
Okay.
I would say 6 gigs is better.
Okay.
It does compress a lot of the memory in RAM to help you out, but it's doing so many other things that
right.
that's filling.
I'm running 8 gigs on my system.
Okay.
It goes pretty well.
Okay.
You do reboot every once in a while?
Yeah,
okay.
I do, and I find that helps a lot.
How full is your drive?
Well, it's. You're asking me all good questions.
Yeah, so you should have, go ahead and if you want a really screaming Maverick system, make sure you have 8 gigs, that'll help. And then also make sure you have like 30% of your hard drive free, your main hard drive.
Okay.
And if you really want to speed up your machine, get a solid state drive, and you want to get a good solid state drive, not a bad solid state
drive.
Okay, it really will speed things
like
up.
Like an external device?
No, it'd actually be an internal to the computer. What kind of machine do you have?
It's a MacBook Pro.
Okay, so you can replace the hard drive
on
MacBook Pro.
It's not the Intel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, it's not the Intel.
It's not the Intel.
It's since then.
I
see. I know what you're talking about. It's not the first Intel version. It's the later one.
Okay.
Right.
Does it have FireWire port on it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So another error you're talking about. So
hard drives, if it is a hard drive, also start to fail.
Yes.
And your machine gets dramatically slower.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you will, if you have a spinning platter, like the normal traditional hard drive, if you replace it with a solid state drive on your MacBook, your MacBook will be a completely different machine.
An SSD makes the hugest difference in speed, and because there's nothing spinning, it's virtually there.
Okay.
It's like trying to race skiers down a hill when you're in shoes.
Okay.
Like that's the kind of speed difference we're talking about. It's just unbelievably fast.
It's what they have in iPads
Well, different technology actually.
Solid state
technology. Yeah, you've got to get rid of your spinning platter. That'll help you out. Those two things.
Okay.
And the hard drive replacement, you can do it yourself.
Okay.
There's videos online. Take some time. Be patient.
I'd recommend if you're not technical, have them do it. Just
have somebody else do it. Yeah.
Because when you crack open one of those things, it's like, you know.
Right.
If you got the time, fine. If you don't.
Yeah, I'll take some place.
Well, thanks for the call and the question about our theme song, too.
All right,
that's
thanks
great.
Very much. Yeah, you guys are great.
I'll take this opportunity to invite other people to write theme songs if you'd like.
No, I like it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
All right, well, we got time for another news story, too. Talking about music, we could talk a little bit about headphones.
Sure. Well, the other thing that's interesting is Apple bought Beats, which is a headset, a headphone company. And a lot of people are speculating about this and saying, why did they buy this and blah, 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 blah. But what the rumor is going around right now, and I got this from 9to5Mac, but, you know, there's a lot of people are saying this. They're saying, get ready for Lightning headphones. Now, the Lightning port is the port on the bottom.
That sounds so painful.
Ow!
Do not go outside.
Yes. Yeah. It's the port on the bottom of your iPhone.
The newer iPhones?
The newer iPhones. It's just a square. You can put it in either direction.
Oh, and it's like the magic port because you can put it in any direction.
Yes. And that was such a
USBs,
hassle.
USBs, you have to upside down. They're always wrong.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's this one port. It's, you know, a lot of data can go through that port. It's highly efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And what people are speculating is Apple's going to get rid of the audio input port, which, you know, has been around since whatever, the 40s or
the
whatever.
The TRRS, the tip ring ring sleeve connector.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be gone because it's inferior sound and you're going to have headphones and earbuds and stuff that are using the Lightning connector. So
right. You've
got much higher quality of
So one of the things that's going on with the connector for the earbuds that you've got a microphone, you've got an up down button, and you've got audio in it, and that's all running through four lines of wire,
right?
The TRRS, those four lines, and to do it where you have a better device, a better connector, a better more things in the connection system, like an independent microphone, stereo microphone, all these things, you could move the digital line into the headphone set,
right.
And then using the Lightning port is a really cool way to do it. Also, the Lightning port is really robust in the sense it's not that, it doesn't fill up with lint as much as the
right. it's smaller. Yeah,
the phono jack is what other time people.
So there's that. It's a rumor. Let me say it's a rumor, but
I don't know.
It looks like people that's what's going to happen.
That would make the phone a little slimmer too, eh?
Well, we are. We're at the end of the show, and we've got to say goodbye, and the content's already started. So this is Geek Speak. We'll be back next week, and we'll see you then. Thanks, Al and Brian, for joining me on Geek Speak.
It's fun. Yep.